Zena.
And I'm Renee.
Welcome to When You Just Want a Glass of Wine, a podcast dedicated to making wine drinking more approachable and inclusive. Join us as we decode the language and unlock the customs of wine drinking. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm gonna pop this bottle while we're talking, and we're gonna have a more relaxed version of this. Are we ready to go?
Let's go.
All right, and here we go.
Woo!
Cheers!
Cheers!
Welcome to today's edition. We are gonna call. We are calling this a
deepish dive
on Pinot Noir. We wanted to do this because, first of all, Renee and I absolutely love Pinot Noir. Yeah. We just did a What's in Renee's Glass. I don't know if you can hear that, but I am pouring. A sparkling champagne. This is Trappier. It's one of my favorite. I've been noticing that it is coming up more and more. It is one of the top champagnes in the world. It is a Blanc de Noir, which means what, Renee?
It means it's made of 100% of black grapes, Blanc de Noir, the white of black, and it's a Pinot Noir.
It's a Pinot Noir, so cheers.
Cheers. There we go.
I mean, this is so pretty.
It is, and it's also it's such a pretty color. It almost starts to come out like a rosé.
It almost does, right? And this is also a brunature.
Brunature, right.
Which means that?
Zero sugar.
Zero sugar.
Zero added sugar.
Yep.
In the dosage, I think. So it's going to have a great deal of minerality. Really lovely champagne. If you don't like the sweeter side of champagnes and things like that, Trappier's Brut Nature is a perfect one. Trappier, if I could go back to my French training, shout out to Mr. Summers from MHS. And check our episode out with Andrew.
How to read a wine label.
And I'll teach you how to get the dry champagne if you like a dry champagne or a slightly sweeter champagne. But this is beautiful and the bubbles are gorgeous. And so it's a perfect lead in for Pinot Noir because it's unexpected.
Exactly. And so in front of us, we are very fortunate that in front of us, we also have four bottles of Pinot Noir. Renee, you've got them facing you. Want to let everybody know what we are drinking after your What's in Renee's Glass challenge we did?
So number one with a bullet was amazing. A 2022 Gevrey Chambertin, which was delightful and gorgeous. We have a 2023 Balad Pinot Noir from the Russian River Valley.
A surprise.
Beautiful, plush.
Santa Lucia Highlands. Doing that. Really surprising and lovely.
Beautiful, plush. One of Zena's all-time favorites, the 2023 Rose Rock from Druin, Oregon, Pinot Noir from the Eola Amity Hills.
Yep.
Am I saying that correctly?
So specific.
We had that at our Pinot Noir tasting. It was incredible.
And then a fourth Bourgogne one, right?
A fourth one from Bourgogne from the Mâconnais.
Which was a nice everyday Pinot Noir. I think Renee and I, what we're really enjoying about doing these, one of the things we're really enjoying about doing these podcasts is we're learning what we really like.
Yes.
And in terms of finding surprising things like the Santa Barbara, the Santa Lucia Highlands. And we're also finding that Macon and Macvillage and Mâconnais is not our favorite.
It's not my favorite palate. Yeah, it's not my favorite place. But that's a great learning thing. Mm-hmm. When you're looking for wine, it's like, I don't like wines from this area. Can you find me something else?
Anybody is from that region, like, I don't know, what, the tourist board, and they want us to come and sit and drink wine there?
There's nothing wrong with the wines. They're lovely wines, but your palate's distinctive. Yeah. Some people like spicy food, some people don't. And it's the same thing with wine. So
I thought we would start this. I had some great quotes when I was doing my research. I was very fortunate to do Oregon Pinot Camp. Shout out to Lemelson and Orange Bus. Woohoo! Shout out to Oregon Pinot Camp. It says spectacular. It sounds like it's all play, but it is a very distinctive 3-4 days. You do drink a lot of wine. You taste a lot, but you get so geeky into soil and all that. Which you really need to. And so some of the things people say about Pinot Noir, God made Cabernet Sauvignon, the devil made Pinot Noir. It's an iron fist in a velvet glove. It is sex in a glass. It is a very, very complicated grape. And that's some of the things that we're going to talk about today. But it is actually one of the oldest grapes in the world. It started in the 14th century in Burgundy, which is still where it's basically the two that we discussed, the two that we have from France are from Burgundy. Moved over to Sonoma It started about 1968, about the same time it started in Willamette, which is obviously one of my favorite places to go. It is a subtle and elegant wine on the whole, with a lot of power and longevity. So these are wines that you can age, and they can be really, really beautiful. Which one were you tasting that you like?
I was just looking. I just noticed on the label of the Gevrey Chambertin Vieille Vigne, which is like the old vines,
yes.
And that, I was like, there's something in there, because I'm like, that doesn't taste like a 2022.
68-year-old vine, something like that.
68-year-old vine.
Yeah, I did not.
Sorry, I have wine ADD.
Well, I mean, we have so much wine in front of us, we will
it's
take
a
picture of that.
It's a really, really hard job.
But let's start a little bit with why, Renee, why is Pinot Noir so, can be so expensive? Like, I like to say, spend at least $20 on a Pinot Noir. You just have to.
Right.
And $30, $40, you're getting a wine that delivers. $50, you still are. It can go, as you know, much higher.
Yes.
But let's talk about what you need to craft Pinot Noir and why it's so difficult and expensive.
Well, the simplest thing, and if anybody's ever watched the movie Sideways, I don't feel like we could do a Pinot Noir without the movie Sideways, although the movie Sideways almost killed the Merlot industry and resulted in a lot of really bad Pinot Noirs coming out because everybody tried to do it. But it is an incredibly difficult grape to grow. It's thin-skinned. It's difficult to cultivate. But it is known for the ability to express small changes in the vineyard. So when we talk about terroir, when you hear somebody say the word terroir, that's not just the soil. It's the soil, the climate, the elevation.
The vinification,
like what the winemaker does. Like there's so much control. Which one is it? Was it the Ballade? That has the it has the different latitudes. It has all the degrees.
Yes, it actually has the degrees.
It has the degrees of latitude and longitude, like where it's actually located, because it expresses the moment and the place so perfectly. But if you have a thin-skinned grape, any late summer storm, you know, late in the harvest storm, something like that, can just destroy it.
And also it buds early, right? So it buds early, so you have to keep that in mind. Right. And then it still has to grow, and it may, you know, it could bud in like, what, April, March, April. And then you could have a lot of things happen by the time you have harvest in September-ish
or so. The ripeness of the grape at the time of harvest, when they have to harvest, that's going to dramatically impact things, whether you get fresh fruit or cooked fruit or the where you go. And one of the things, you know, you talk about in a standard differential in Pinot Noir is whether it's Old World or New World.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I had a lot of fun looking up where Pinots come from. I think we all know Burgundy. We all know Willamette Valley, Sonoma more than Napa, right?
Right.
But let's talk about some of the Old World versus New World, and then we'll talk about some of the surprise places that it's also grown.
Well, generally speaking, the reason also why you'd have Sonoma versus Napa is because it's a little bit further north.
Right.
And Pinot Noirs typically grow in cooler climates. So you will typically have them be higher acid, although New World Pinots are slightly warmer, but still cool climate.
Well, because you also talk about on the West Coast, you can get bay breezes or
you
ocean
get bay breezes,
breezes,
right? Like you get the things that cool it down.
Santa
Russian
Barbara.
River Valley.
Yeah.
And Santa Barbara, you get the ocean breezes that come in and cool it down. And so you don't get that cooked fruit that you would typically think that you might get in like a Cabernet Sauvignon at times and things like that.
I learned something that I thought was really interesting, that as it gets cooler in California, cooler Pinot Noirs, middle Cabernets, warmer Zinfandels.
Right.
And that shows how the ripeness of the fruit comes out. And I thought, oh, I've known that all my life, but I didn't know
you
that.
Didn't know it. And that's why like climate plays such a tremendous thing. And again, climate's not just the weather. It's the overall weather. Do you have the breezes? Are you in elevation? Are you in a mountain range? Are you in things like that? So Pinot Noir is incredibly difficult to grow. It's very reflective of the moment and the time, like where you are in that. And another thing with the Pinot Noirs also is they're also typically done as a single varietal. You rarely see them blended with anything. So you can't fix it. Like if you have a Cab Franc again, one of my favorite winemakers, Alicia Moore, and she's like, I have this Cab Franc. It's 99% Cab Franc and it's 1%. They'll add something else to like maybe bump up the middle palate on the wine. The middle palate, shout out. And it's like to make it a fuller taste where you never lose anything when you're drinking it. Pinot Noir is not usually typically blended with anything. So you it's what it is.
As a matter of fact, in Oregon, it needs, now this is a great tip. So in Oregon, it has to be 95% Pinot Noir to be called Pinot Noir.
Okay.
But what you, that's a valid point. When you are buying Pinot Noir, you want to make sure it's really in that 100%, 95, 100% right. Pinot Noir. Or you might wind up getting something that's a little too jammy or a little right. too. So that's where price also matters, right?
Absolutely. And you'll get more refined, more elegant wines. You want, like, the higher the acid, they're usually pale to medium in color. They're higher acid and medium, low to medium tannins. There's usually, you see a lot of French oak and neutral oak. Obviously, they're coming from Burgundy.
Yep.
You don't want something that gets, that like influences it so much that you lose the flavor of the grape.
Because it's such a, because of the type of grape it is, it can't, it can, but it can't
yeah.
hold up to a lot of new or new American oak. So you're going to see maybe a little bit, what, 10% of something new, and then into that second and third
right.
aged barrel.
Right.
Because it really does make a difference.
They're like your hypersensitive friend that needs to be in a perfect environment. But when they're in that perfect environment, they are the life of the party and they go with everything.
Oh my gosh, I and love that description.
But it's got to be the perfect environment or else you're like, wow, what happened to that guy? I don't know. Some general distinctions, old world wines, old world Pinot Noirs tend to be in cooler climates. They have higher acidity. They're more savory. You're going to get some cranberry, mushroom, forest floor. New world wines, they come from warmer, not warm, but warmer climates, sunnier climates. They're going to be plusher. You're going to get that mouth feel. Like that Russian River Valley one was just gorgeous. It was like velvet
yeah.
in a glass. That velvet in the steel, you're like, yes. And then it
powerful.
Finished really, oh, it's incredible. They're going to be lower, slightly lower in acidity. Again, warmer temperatures, lower acid. And you're going to get strawberry and raspberry. New world Pinot Noirs are going to be fruit forward.
And that's a really good, that's a, such a good way to look at it, that fruit forward versus the forest floor
and the mushroom. Yep. And yeah, you'll get that kind of that more savory. And sometimes you get it on the nose. I was just tripped up on the what's in Renee's glass because I was like, well, I don't get any fruit on the nose. But as soon as you tasted it, you're like, woo, that is raspberry all yeah. day.
And as soon as you get something, well, not as soon, but we always talk in generalizations, right?
Yes.
Because
there are exceptions.
Right. I felt like the Mâconnais one had more of that fruit than... It also was a $20 wine versus a $75
right.
wine. And I think that... I didn't look at the tech sheet, so there could have been
manipulation. It had the forest floor. It had the mushroom. And you could get that later. I mean, I think my first description, I was like, it's got a little stank. Like, it's got a little... Which I think is almost exactly what I said about the other Mâconnais one, which it turns out it's not my region.
It's just not your region.
It's just not my region, and that's okay. I'm sure it's a lovely place, and I would go visit there in a heartbeat. But the, yeah, so that's the main thing. So you've got like the main regions with Pinot Noir. Those are their main characteristics. But again, the ripeness of harvest. I'm trying to look at my notes to see what else. If it's matured, and it is usually matured in oak, but like French oak, as we said, older or larger barrels, which is another
also,
thing.
Also, so it doesn't.
So you have less yep. contact with the
mm-hmm.
oak
that's exactly
in a larger
right.
barrel, which makes sense. But that's where you're going to start to get, in addition to like the mushrooms and the forest floor, you'll get smoke and cloves and vanilla. That typically comes from the oak.
And that helps you well. Decide what you want. What I thought was really interesting, so when we were kind of going over, we talked about, we were talking about where Pinot Noir is made. So the old world, like Renee's talking about, it's Burgundy.
Burgundy.
So when you see Burgundy, two main grapes are Burgundy, Chardonnay. And I was going to say Chablis, Chardonnay, and right, and Pinot Noirs, right? And a lot of people, you'll go into a restaurant. Here's a tip: Côte de Beaune, you're going to love it. It's going to be an absolutely gorgeous Pinot Noir from an important region. It's going to be more expensive.
Côte de Beaune.
Yeah, you're going to. That's what you want to.
Saint George.
Yeah, that's really where you want to go for.
Gevrey Chambertin.
I mean, some of the more elegant wines are going to come from that area. So that's something important. What I also found old world that I thought was interesting, Austria. So when you're in Austria and you see Saint Laurent is like a Pinot Noir style grape. And there's a way of how the Saint Laurent was right. mated with another grape and whatnot. So if you see something that's Saint Laurent and you're in Austria, go for it. Because
that's
going to
be Pinot Noir. Right. That's the one.
If you're in Germany, you're going to look for something that has a Spätburgunder. Burgunder like Burgundy. Burgunder. So there may be a Weißburgunder, which is white Burgundy that leads you towards Chardonnay, right, or a Spätburgunder, which will be a Pinot Noir style. So if you see that in Germany, Burgunder, and that's what you a region that you like, yep, you can go get it.
Apparently Northern Italy as well.
Oh, they I didn't actually know that. They have some good Pinot Noirs.
They have
I did
some
not
Pinot Noir,
see
yeah.
Well, really? Well, we're going to have to try that
have to
next.
Try that, yeah.
We're going to try that next. And then what's also typical are Oregon and California, what we'll talk about in a few minutes. But one of the more surprising places that I was looking up is the New York Finger Lakes. Because of the cool climate,
yeah.
Great place for Pinot Noirs.
For Pinot Noir, yep.
South Africa, because again, by the coast area, it has to have the cool breezes. And then I didn't even think of this, but Tasmania, and I should have known that because we had that Jance, remember?
That's right.
The sparkling Pinot sparkling. Noir. And so the Pinot Noirs in Tasmania, New Zealand, Australia often also go into their sparkling. But if you're looking for something out of Australia, you might want to look for Adelaide or the Yarra Valley.
Walker
Zealand,
Bay.
Yeah, and in New Zealand, you might find it.
Sorry, that's South Africa. But yeah, Yarra Valley, New Zealand.
Always look for the cooler
Marlborough,
region, someplace that has that. And I thought that was kind of a really interesting hint on that, how you can
you also get it in the Casablanca Valley in Chile.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a cooler rug, I think.
And
yeah,
reasonably priced there, too, yeah, right?
And then California, we talked about Sonoma and Santa Barbara, but also Los Caneros.
Yes, Los Caneros. Isn't that, I would bet that's a lot of, added into a lot of their sparkling, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably things.
And then my favorite region, of course, is Oregon.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about Oregon.
Go ahead. You're the expert on Oregon.
We're going to get you out to Oregon Pinot Camp.
I know. I would love to go to Pinot Camp. So what we learned earlier, so here's what I know about Oregon, other than we love Rose Rock and also Elk.
Elk Cove is wonderful.
Elk Cove is another vineyard there. Again, talking about, it's so reflective of the soil. So three kinds of soil.
Yes.
In Oregon. Jory.
Yep.
Willa-Kinsey
soil.
And Nekia, which, so Jory is the clay volcanic. Right, I think I have this right.
Yes.
Willa-Kinsey is the marine sediment,
which is my favorite.
Your favorite, yep. And then Nekia is the basalt.
Yeah, we should see Lowe's soil.
The
Lowe's,
L O E S S, the Lowe's basalt.
That is a difficult soil to grow in. But remember, when soil is more difficult,
you want the vines to struggle.
That's right. You want the vines to struggle.
You don't want happy, contented vines. You want vines that are like, "What is happening?" It develops the complexity in them.
That's exactly right. And that's what people don't understand. Is that they need to struggle a little bit, and that's where how the farmers, how the winemakers, how they take care of the fields to allow them to struggle a little bit.
Right.
I happen to absolutely love the volcanic. Well, I'm a marine sediment tree, but I also really like the volcanic soils in the Pinot Noir. I feel like in Chardonnays, I'm more of a marine sedimentary, and then kind of Dundee Hills, the volcanic soils in the Pinot Noir. So, of course, we always tell this story, the Archery Summit story.
Yes.
When Jimmy, my partner, tasted this Pinot Noir from there, and it was so spectacular that it was his seminal moment. I mean, Pinot Noirs can be so elegant and so beautiful that they have this reaction to you. It's not that necessarily that slap in the face. It just is smooth and silky. Yeah. And he started crying, and he got all of the flavors that were prevalent.
He hates when you tell the story.
He won't listen to this. What he got right away was that cherry. He got the fruit that we're talking about. The dark cherry, the cherry tree that grew.
New World Pinot Noir fruit forward.
And it was really something that was important to him. So if you love those flavors, then I think that's a wine you're going to really like.
And it's great. And it's a perfect example of how winemakers are, like comfortable chefs, which is you want that reaction of I'm always doing movie quotes, but like the scene in Ratatouille when the critic takes a bite of the ratatouille and it flashes back to when he was a little boy. That's the thing that you love. And he was thinking about his grandfather and things like that. And the cherry trees, the cherries that they picked and everything. And I think that's an extraordinary, if you can have that, I can't imagine a greater thing. I'm not a winemaker. I don't have the fortitude to be a winemaker. But to have that kind of experience for somebody in your vineyard, is it would be like the most magical thing that you can have.
And it's so wonderful. And that's the difference. So what you want to be really careful is, so there's a couple of wines. I took a class with Karen McNeil, this mastering of wine class. And the two wines that she said to actually spend money on, interestingly enough, were Sauvignon Blanc and Pinot Noir.
Yeah, I would love that.
Right? And you don't, the problem with an inexpensive Pinot Noir, now not all, because remember, we have that Pinot Noir, the Côte de Danube from Bulgaria, woman winemaker, that's absolutely delicious. That's a really good example of a less expensive Pinot Noir made
well. It's because it's from an unusual wine region, and yes, people are not going to, you know, do it. Yes. Anything you're getting that has an AOC and a village in France, you're going to pay more for it because mm-hmm. they've got a reputation. They also have exacting quality, yes, you know, control and things like that. And some of the regions in the more northern regions of like harvesting of the grapes, they can't even use like equipment. So they're hand harvesting everything. So, you know, it's the difference between getting a handmade piece of furniture and something from IKEA. And shout out to IKEA. Love them. But
but still,
it's different right? Yeah. It takes a different amount of labor and intensity and things like that.
But you also don't want to have like a less expensive wine. So you really want to be careful. You don't want like oak chips added. You don't want flavors manipulated.
No, so, and usually those are in like the bigger brands that are like mass selling brands. Yeah. And they have their place.
Yeah.
But if what you're trying to have is a special experience, or you want to try it for the first time, and look, it's hard. It's hard to say, I want to try Pinot Noir for the first time. Let's drop $80 on a Gevrey Chambertin. We get that, because maybe you don't like Pinot Noir, and that's perfectly... Yeah. Like,
maybe you don't want to age it for 5 or 10 years.
Maybe you don't want to age it for five or ten years. You want to... Yeah. 43 minutes. Always. I go back to the right. Next thing, always. Americans age their wine 43 minutes.
Well, if I were to make a suggestion to people having been out to Oregon, you can name some of yours, but some of my favorites, Domaine Druin, Adelsheim, Archery Summit, Christom, Lemelson, Brooks, our favorite person, Janie's over there. Those are some really great brands that you can really get in the, starts probably in the 20s.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, especially right now with everything that's going on, just things cost a little bit more. I think if you get a Pinot Noir in the higher 30s, 40s,
yeah,
that's a good price point right there.
Right.
And if you think about that, that's really only $10, $12 a glass of wine.
Right.
Which if you go out right now, I mean, you can come to Beauty Champagne and Sugar Boutique and get it for 12, but
that's right.
Most wines are like 16 a glass, 15, yeah, 16 a glass right now. So I think it's kind of how you think about, I think that if you think about it by the glass and you go, well, that would be 10, 12 bucks a glass and that's 6 ounces for a glass and I'm going to sit, yeah, and drink that for an amount of time. I think you can get over that price point. Now, again, like you said, you can go up much higher. You can get things that are aged. But that's where I would be.
Absolutely. And not every wine, again, you know, we talked about this before. And this, I love doing these podcasts because we kind of nerd out and get all deep into it. But sometimes you don't want to take a class. You just want a glass of wine when you just want a glass of wine. And you can do those too. You just have to be cognizant of the fact that the lowest price point Pinot Noir is not necessarily reflective of Pinot Noir. So I think one of the things we try to do is like we do generalizations that they're generally like this, but they're exceptions to everything, is to never say, I don't like Pinot Noir, because you might not have had the right Pinot Noir yet.
Yeah.
I didn't like that Pinot Noir is much more specific and, you know, use better words. That's what we're trying to do these days in 2025, using better words.
When we were over in Oregon, we had it was very interesting because people had very, we met with a lot of winemakers. We had a lot of tours. I was very lucky to go on this industry tasting last August. And what we did, we saw a lot of different styles of vinification, the making of the wine. And some of them had your favorite thing, this kind of modified carbonic maceration. And that's because
I don't know if it's my favorite thing, but I do love that carbonic Graciano.
It is a fun one, right?
It is a fun one, yeah.
It has some great flavors, though, that happen. And that's because the stems of Pinot Noirs actually ripen.
Yeah.
So they can do, so if you're looking at a bottle, and we've talked about how to read a wine label, and sometimes you just got to Google stuff.
Yeah.
But if you see a whole cluster on a label,
right,
on a Pinot Noir, that's going to give you a really interesting flavor.
It's
going
to give you a little funkiness.
And I think it's lovely.
But in a good way.
Yeah. And yeah, the carbonic maceration, basically what they're doing is they're piling it all on top of each other, basically.
The grapes, right.
Yeah.
The weight of the grapes themselves essentially press, because usually, you know, you bring it in, you crush, then yep, press,
and
for
press
red wine. You crush, yep, and then press. You press everything out with a mechanical press. But in carbonic maceration, they use the weight of the grapes to do that. And so it stays on there a little bit longer. You've got, it's a different
thing. And then what they do is like a punch down.
And then they hand punch down. Yeah. It's great. Have you ever seen them like, you know, in t-shirts, like sticking their hands down and punching the, pushing the grapes back down in there? It's amazing. I don't know how they get that wine stain off their arms, but they do.
And then that actually gives, because Pinot Noirs tend to be a little bit more delicate, that's going to give it a little increase in the tan and a little increase in that
because
alcohol.
Yeah, because like a mechanical press on a delicate grape, you're going to like, ah, you're going to, it's going to crush it. So it's great. I mean, I think for me, and this is kind of a funny thing, that I, because of that movie, I initially, I was resistant to Pinot Noir. It was a wine that I came to much later, a varietal that I came to much later, because I was like, those people are fussy. And I don't want any part of that. And also, I like Merlot and I like Cab Franc and I liked like the other wines that he kind of disses in that movie. And then somebody said to me, why are you taking wine advice from a movie? And I was like, that's fair. So I started drinking. I was like, okay, I get it. I love Pinot Noir. I will say it's not my favorite varietal.
What
it wouldn't be my
varietal?
Favorite thing.
Cab Franc?
Cab Franc right now is my favorite varietal because it's very big in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I like, there's some winemakers in Virginia that are doing some really interesting things with it. Originally, it was Cabernet Sauvignon, and then, but Tempranillos were my favorite for a very long time.
Oh, because you love Rioja.
And I still love Rioja, and I still love that region, and I still love Tempranillos. And that's, I love everything about that varietal. I love everything about their wines there. And so I think that's one of the things. But I am becoming much more of a Pinot Noir. And I have gotten more into it because people that I respect in the wine love it. Mm-hmm. You, Nick, like all these other people that and other people that I've met before that they love Pinot Noir. So I'm like, talk to me about Pinot Noirs.
Well, it's such a versatile food wine,
too. It's an incredibly versatile food wine. Yeah, it's a great food wine.
It's a great food wine. So let's say salmon and Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
Pork.
100% pork. 100%.
Right?
Little barbecue. Duck. Barbecue and
yeah, you'd have to get the right one. So like, I think this the Balade would hold up to
not
the pork.
The Balade would and would hold up to the barbecue, not like an overly vinegar one and not like an overly peppered
one. Yes, you have to.
But a light barbecue, I think would go. You would have some great like you would put it with a pasta. I would put it with pasta.
Absolutely.
Well. So tomato salt like that.
And I also like what I want to say is seems to be all the rage, but white Pinot Noirs. Yeah. So Lemelson had a white Pinot Noir.
I'm coming
around to
there.
It. Well, so let's talk about what that is. So basically they take a red wine grape that has red wine skins and there is, they take it off the skin right away. And so you have a red wine grape that's making a white wine.
How dare they? Whenever would they do that?
Shocker. Right?
They do it in champagne all the time.
Blanc de Noir. So a white Pinot Noir, I find them to be very juicy. I thought Lemelson's was really delicious.
Yes,
it's one of my
juicy
favorites.
Juicy is a great word for it. Yeah. And you can see why they would make champagne with it. Like it's a beautiful thing. And we say, just so you know, so obviously Noir is the French word for black. And Wset in particular refers to them as black grapes, not red grapes. The grape juice is, the juice is the pulp and the juice is white. Right. It's the skin that gives it the color. And so
skin color.
When you have a rosé,
that's what I was gonna
you
say.
Leave it on the skins for, depending on what you want, a second. And, or, you know, it macerates on the skin for sometimes 4 hours, or sometimes just 4 hours. Yep. And then sometimes
a couple weeks. Yep.
And if you like a lighter Provençal rosé like I do, it's going to be barely on the skins and that's it. But it's, again.
But you can look right
but
now.
But you're making that from a Grenache, which is a black grape.
Right now, I think 100% Pinot Noir, rosé of Pinot Noirs are absolutely delicious.
They're
also
gorgeous.
I think that's a wonderful thing this summer if you're looking for a rosé.
Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful one. Also can hold up to food.
Because you get some of the complexities. Get some of the complexities of the Pinot Noir. A lot of the complexities comes with aging in oak, and then the bottle aging is where you get the tertiary, like a really high level, like the Gevrey Chambertin, your bottle aging. And that's where you're going to start to get the forest floor and the mushrooms and things like that and the tertiary aging thing.
And that's what's great about a Pinot Noir, the aging capabilities of Pinot Noir. And so when you're spending some money on it, I mean, we talk about this all the time, a lay down wine and a drinking wine. You know, it's kind of fun to get two bottles. One you're going to drink today because, again, Americans drink their wine right away. And one you're going to lay down and, drink in whatever it
is. On your anniversary, your 10-year anniversary or something.
Whatever it is. And that you can lay down a Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
I think that's
And it's hard. I mean, it's hard. Obviously, again, the 43 minutes. But what most people do in that circumstance is you just buy an old one. You buy one that right. somebody else has done.
That somebody else has done all
you're
the work.
You're still only
going
to hold yeah. it for 43 minutes, yeah. but you've already bought one. That you're yeah. like, oh, this is a 19, you know, or a 19 something Pinot Noir, and you're going to be fine with that. So
what I think, I mean, what I think is something important to know about Pinot Noir is we talked. It's food friendly wine.
Yes,
it has higher acidity, but it doesn't have that necessarily the burning acidity, right?
No, it's not a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Cab yeah. Franc acidity. Like it's got a
right. It's elegant is often described as
it
elegant.
Is very elegant wine.
It can be bolder or more delicate depending on the region that it's coming from. People who say they don't like oak, they don't like new oak or new American oak. Most of the wines are going to be in some form of neutral or even French oak,
right.
So it makes it a wine that is easy to get. And if you're going to somebody's house and you want to spend a little bit of money, but you don't want to spend too much money, then you know you can get something in that $30 range, a little high 30s, and you can be bringing something that they're going to enjoy.
And if you're somebody that says, we have an episode about this, that you don't really like sweet wines, and what you mean by that is fruit-forward wines. They're actually dry wines, yeah. but they're fruit-forward. An Old World Pinot Noir is perfect. Like, that's going to give you the savoriness in the wine.
Yep.
That's why it pairs with things. Like, you're going to get that where you're not going to feel like it's going to feel a little bit richer, even though, it's not necessarily, you get very plush wines in New World mm-hmm. Pinot Noirs. But you can, and here's what I like about them too, and this is always one of the criteria for me in wines, is they are great porch wines. And what I mean by that is you can drink them on your porch, you can have food or not.
Yeah.
They're
it's perfectly a season port right now.
They're not typically high alcohol, so that's also an easy thing on that.
It's a great, and it's a summer wine too.
It's a summer
spring,
wine.
Spring, summer, winter,
fall.
It's a
light red summer wine. You can get them that'll hold up to things and that have incredible richness and complexities, but it's not going to be one like a big central valley, like super hot, big label, mass right. production Cabernet Sauvignon from California. That's
right.
As soon as you take a sip, you go,
I need a steak.
Hey, there's some alcohol.
Yeah. Yep.
They're great wines for that. They're very versatile in that regard. The best part about Pinot Noir being these really difficult and challenging grapes to grow is that you don't have to do that.
Right.
All you have to do
done
is open
for you.
It.
Yeah.
Open a cork. Generally speaking, they're corks. Yeah. You do have to open the cork, yep. but other than that,
so look at those. So look at Argan. Look in the cooler climates, mainly Sonoma, a little bit of Napa if you're looking for American
Santa Barbara.
Style. Santa Barbara, cooler climate, specifically because of
and the
how
cooler
it's
climates.
There.
Yeah.
Then you want to look in Burgundy if you're very interested in it.
Yes.
And I think those are the regions that you want to look at when you're looking to buy a wine. I think seasonally, it's a perfect time for it. Renee, do you have anything else we should add to this?
Let's talk a little bit about the champagne, because I think that's
good call.
A really good point in that I use this as a trivia question all the time to both stump people and win drinks, which is, what is a white wine made with a black grape?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, what? There aren't any. And I'm like, oh, it's called champagne,
it's
and
called
it's lovely.
Champagne. So that's your summer joke that you can come up
that's
to everybody.
My summer
I'll
joke.
Bet you a
I'll bet you yeah. a glass of
what?
Provençal Rosé.
that yeah.
of Grenache Rosé. Yes, and it's a great because again, it's not the only one. I think Pinot Meunier is also a black grape that
yes, it is. From, a different climate for that.
Different climate for that in Champagne. And it, you know, I think it's a lovely expression of the grape, of the varietal, and it does beautiful things, and it's just another way that Pinot Noir is magic. It becomes magic in a glass. You can make champagne with it, and anything that you can make champagne with, I'm all in.
Right, and I think, I mean, it's funny, because it's like what we're drinking now, the Blanc de Noir, has this kind of slightly almost, not even salmon, this very slight color to it.
It's a, yeah, yeah. Like you would almost think like if you've had red wine in a glass before and you rinse properly with wine and not water, but there's still like a slight tint,
yeah,
and you're like, you're blending in the glass. It just got this every time. The first three times I looked at it, I kept saying, is this a rosé?
I know.
Like
I did too. When I poured it, I thought, oh my God, what? And I had to look again. But
what nope. was in the glass? Was there yep. something in the glass? No, it's just a really pretty color.
It's a beautiful, like if you're looking for gifts for Father's Day and you want it, you're like, I need to get a Father's Day gift, but I want to enjoy it too.
Or 4th of July, because yep. that actually works with the French.
Yes,
so.
It does. So, you know, come on over and buy yourself the Trappier.
The Trappier. Brut Nature.
Yeah, the Brut de Noir, Blanc de Noir. It's in the flavor profile is on it. You can always tell it has that acid. It makes you do a little, but not overly. It's something that it, you can
serve
have
with serve it with French fries or fry, if you're having fried chicken, French fries, popcorn. Serve it in a movie theater. It's great.
Serve it in a movie theater would be awesome. We'll have it at our Sip and Script for this summertime.
The next Sip and Cinema, yeah.
A Sip and Cinema, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Perfect. We'll do that. Perfect. Yep. Well, now I think that's it. And, you know, if you're enjoying the podcast, please comment, follow us on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcast. Send us recommendations for new podcast topics.
Absolutely.
You just want a glass of wine at Gmail, you can send it to that.
You can be on Instagram.
Put it on the comments. Put it on the comments on Instagram.
Yep.
And we love to hear from you. We're already getting amazing comments, so please keep doing that.
And this was such a great episode. So Renee and I have 5 bottles of wine to drink on our Tuesday afternoon. So we're going to cheers off and enjoy the rest
What's
of our day.
What's Meghan Trainor? If I was you, I'd want to be me too.
Cheers. That was just wonderful.